Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with Obama's renewed focus on Wall Street reform following a White House meeting on Monday with the nation's top financial regulators. Dennis Kelleher, the president and chief executive officer of Better Markets, Inc., a nonprofit organization that promotes the public interest in U.S. and global financial markets, joins us to discuss why regulators have missed 60% of the rulemaking deadlines as the Dodd-Frank bill, which has been under relentless attack from Wall Street, tries to implement rules to prevent another crash. Then we'll examine how the massacre in Egypt could have been avoided and why it was not, with two-time Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist David Rode, a columnist for Reuters who was kidnapped and held captive by the Taliban, which he wrote about in a memoir, A Rope and a Prayer. He joins us to discuss his latest article at Reuters, A Feckless Response to Egypt's Avoidable Massacre, and the growing alienation amongst the young, who are the majority in the Middle East, towards the United States, which he argues is more hated and less secure across the region. Then finally, we will speak with Dr. Jeffrey Richardson, a senior fellow at the National Security Archive, who obtained a 322-page declassified history of the CIA's super-secret Area 51 under the Freedom of Information Act. We will discuss what has been revealed about decades of secret activity at a site many believe houses the remains of aliens and an extraterrestrial spacecraft, and how the CIA's turf battles with the Air Force over control of spy platforms has led to the cancellation of successful programs. And joining us now is Dennis Kelleher, who is the president and chief executive officer of Better Markets, Inc., a Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit organization that promotes the public interest in the U.S. and global financial markets. Better Markets is a Wall Street watchdog and has been referred to as a persistent thorn in the side of Wall Street. Dennis has held several senior staff positions in the United States Senate, most recently as the chief counsel and senior leadership advisor to the chairman of the Senate Democratic Policy Committee. Welcome to Background Briefing, Dennis Kelleher.
Hi, Ian. Nice to be with you.
And on Monday, the president hosted all the top financial regulators at the White House, where apparently he gave them a kind of pep talk. And I take it that one of the things that perhaps was on the agenda is that regulators have missed 60% of the rulemaking deadlines under the Dodd-Frank bill, which, of course, has been under relentless attack from Wall Street. So I understand what Wall Street's up to and how and why the Republicans have been trying to kill it. But why have those that have been trying to implement it, why the slow marching?
Well, I think there's been two primary reasons for the delay in implementing all of the financial reform law. And you hear these numbers all the time of 60% of the rules haven't been done, or this percent or that percent. Interestingly, those reports, quote unquote, are always put out by big law firms who are trying to gin up business from the big banks. So it's a little bit self-serving. Secondly, they also never mention that the delay is almost entirely due to the Wall Street war on financial reform. I mean, they never mentioned that Wall Street's using its unlimited resources to purchase basically every lawyer, lobbyist, PR spinner, politician, academic, trade group, and you name it, to overwhelm the agencies with comments and meetings, which the agencies are required to consider under the Administrative Procedures Act. So that has tremendously slowed down this entire process. And if that's not despicable enough, given that financial reform is supposed to protect Main Street from Wall Street, and Wall Street is fighting to prevent that reform being put in place, if that isn't despicable enough, at the same time, what Wall Street and its allies are doing are preventing the agencies from being funded at anywhere near the level that they need to have the personnel and technology to implement the rules in financial reform. So when you put those two things together, it's a double whammy on the agencies to try and get the job done. Frankly, it's a miracle that some of the agencies have got as much done as they have with as few staff and funding as they've been given.
So obviously memories are very short on Wall Street, because it was only in 2008, not very long ago, that the entire economy almost crashed. And what ensued was the biggest transfer of private debt into public debt in the history of the world. And so, in other words, Main Street bore the brunt and Wall Street was made whole. And now they're going back to their old habits. So I don't understand why it is that, one, they have no historical memory, and two, what is it about deregulation that they're so insistent on when the results of deregulation result in the whole house coming down or almost coming down?
Well, it's a good question, Ian, and the operative word is almost. The problem is that Wall Street made literally hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars in bonuses in the run-up in the years before the crash of 08. All of that was really only possible because of deregulation and then a complete and gross lack of law enforcement on Wall Street, which then went on a crime spree. But they padded their pockets, they got their limos, their planes, and their mansions throughout the country and throughout the globe. And then, it's true, it crashed the global financial system, but they didn't pay the price. They had the party, and the American people got stuck with the bill. So it's not that they have amnesia or that they have some remorse over crashing the financial system. The years before the crisis were darn good for them, and regrettably, the years since the crisis have been darn good for them because the American people picked up the bill. And in fact, Better Markets did a study that showed that the financial crash is going to cost the United States more than $12.8 trillion. So every person in the U.S. not getting a paycheck from Wall Street is going to be paying to clean up the mess Wall Street created for decades. And here we are just a few years later, and they're making record profits again. So, you know, it's not amnesia. It's a conscious policy of Wall Street and its trade groups, including those who are commenting every day and quoted in the paper about how bad financial reform is for America, when what they really mean is that financial reform, which would protect Main Street, is bad for Wall Street's bonuses and profits. And that is good for Main Street, because we need to limit the reckless gambling on Wall Street that crashed the House of Cards and stuck this country with a phenomenally large, almost unimaginably large bill.
And again, I'm speaking with Dennis Kelleher, who's the President and Chief Executive Officer of Better Markets, Inc., a Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit organization that promotes the public interest in the U.S. and global financial markets. So the cost that you just mentioned to the economy from the crash is equal to one entire year's GDP of the United States.
Right. That's why I say it's almost unimaginable.
Right.
And the other thing, Ian, that we hear all the time, people talking about the Fed policy and about having to fight deficits, the remarkable thing is nobody ever talks about where these things come from. But we have huge deficits that we need to bring down. Much of them are due to Wall Street crashing the global financial system, because when it threw everybody out of work and caused so many businesses to fail, tax revenues plummeted, but social needs skyrocketed. And the difference between those two largely account for much of the deficits in Obama's first term. And yet now we hear about the need, we have to have austerity and fight the deficits. Nobody ever mentions, well, wait a minute, we have those because of the Wall Street collapse. The same thing with Fed policy. The Federal Reserve Board has undertaken extraordinary efforts to try and help the economy heal from the Wall Street crash. So we have what are called zero interest rates, and we have this bond buying program, $85 billion a month, where the Fed has a balance sheet of $3 trillion now. It's at historic levels. And people talk about, oh, we have to change that and we have to change this. But nobody ever says, well, wait a minute, why are these actions necessary? And it's because of the ongoing economic wreckage from the financial crash, which was the worst since 1929, caused by Wall Street, which is why we so desperately need to get sensible financial reform into place, so that not only the crime spree on Wall Street can be limited, but that their reckless gambling with often borrowed billions to pad bonuses and do nothing for the economy.
Well, when you mentioned, though, that the deficit went up at the same time as the financial costs for those affected by it, the unemployment and the wreckage and the homelessness, et cetera, that was caused, that is, I think, just a window into the social cost And that hasn't that led to the further polarization in this country between the rich and the poor?
Well, it certainly has. And in fact, you know, we, as I say, Better Markets did a study, and it's actually available on our homepage on our website, which is www.bettermarkets.com. But if you go there, it really details not just the economic cost inflicted on this country, but it puts a face on the real human cost of unemployment, skyrocketing food stamp use, free school lunch use, homelessness, eviction, all the multitude of problems is almost unimaginable. And it has been, and many of those things are still going on. And one of the things that I wanted to mention, because what the industry says is we don't put too many financial rules in place on us, or it will hurt economic growth. It will hurt credit. We won't be able to lend to Main Street if you put too many financial regulations on us. Well, first of all, there's no cost from financial regulation on Wall Street that will come anywhere near close to the cost of an unregulated Wall Street crashing the global financial system. But the second thing is, today, there was just a study a few days ago that showed the big three banks today have an excess of $860 billion in deposits. So that's the amount of deposits that they retain over the amount of loans that they're giving. Well, today that means that just the three big banks could actually lend $860 billion more, funded just by their deposits. They're not lending for a whole variety of reasons, but the claim that they're not lending because of financial reform is nothing but a fraud. It's a lie meant to deceive the American people and to intimidate politicians and regulators from putting in place the overdue necessary financial reform rules, which are pretty minimal, actually, but they are going to be sufficient if they're done right to protect Main Street from Wall Street.
So the president on Monday gave the financial regulators a pep talk, and as we've discussed earlier in this interview, Dennis Kelleher, Wall Street's been at war with financial regulation since it began. The Republicans are completely in their pocket, and a lot of Democrats are. It seems to be that they're fighting over who can get on the House Banking Committee, because that guarantees you enormous amounts of money from the banks, so you don't have to do as much fundraising. That is, unfortunately, the cynical truth. So there aren't many advocates left out there for the citizen and for the consumer. You've got these people that we should be grateful for, like Senator Elizabeth Warren, whose brainchild has been under a constant assault, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. And the president had to resort, or the Senate had to resort to threats of ending the filibuster in order to get Richard Cordray in there. So we've seen all of these fights, and that all of it adds up to the fact that Wall Street's got the money to hire its political hirelings to do its bidding. But is the lesson that you're telling us about the cost of what happened in 2008 and how the public made these people whole, and how it's not that they have no historical memory, it's just that they got off scot-free, so why do they care? Does that mean that some of them should have gone to jail, and some of these big banks should have gone under?
Well, there are two very important questions that are quite distinct. Whether or not the big banks should have gone under is a different question. And, you know, when and I was in a senior government position in the fall of 08 and the spring of 09 at the height of the crisis. And frankly, I think the only case that can be made is that it would be grossly irresponsible for anybody to essentially gamble over whether or not the country would have to suffer a second Great Depression. And that's what government officials and policymakers were facing. And that's why you had both a Republican administration, and not just the President Bush, but his Secretary of Treasury Paulson, but then a Democratic administration and their personnel, prevent the collapse of the financial system, which is what you're really talking about when you say let a few more banks fail. And so things are bad, and the costs are astronomical, but they could have been, a second Great Depression would have been magnitudes greater than what they were. So I don't think the choice would be to let banks fail. The real choice was whether or not the bailouts should have been done with absolutely no accountability and absolutely no conditions and requirements. And that was the fatal flaw in the bailouts. It wasn't that they were done, it was the terms they were done under, which history is going to look back and I have no doubt condemn. Now, secondly, whether or not, and you're right on the money here, Ian, whether people should have gone to jail, people should still go to jail. When anybody looks reasonably at what happened in these on Wall Street during the run-up to the crisis, you're talking about the creation, packaging, distribution, and sale of what became trillions of dollars of worthless securities, which had AAA ratings, which means they were supposed to be as safe as the dollar bill. And they were sold and packaged throughout this entire globe. It cannot be the case that a crime was not committed when trillions of dollars of worthless securities are sold as being worth trillions of dollars. And it's not just a headline. We also know from the details. If you look at the Abacus case, which was the Goldman Sachs case, the permanent subcommittee on investigation in the SEC in the Senate did an extensive analysis of what really happened there. And apparently only the U.S. Department of Justice can't find a law that is broken there. But anybody, I mean, I think a first-year associate at a law firm would get fired if he couldn't figure out innumerable laws that were violated both on the criminal side and the civil side. But what we've had, and what we've seen, regrettably, is the Department of Justice and the SEC have turned a blind eye to a lawlessness on Wall Street, which has not only rewarded but incentivized crime.
Well, Dennis Kelleher, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Dennis Kelleher, who is the President and Chief Executive Officer of Better Markets, Inc., a Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit organization that promotes the public interest in the U.S. and global financial markets. Better Markets is a Wall Street watchdog that has been referred to as a persistent thorn in the side of Wall Street, and Dennis has held several senior staff positions in the United States Senate, most recently as Chief Counsel and Senior Leadership Advisor to the Chairman of the Senate Democratic Policy Committee. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about Egypt's avoidable massacre.
Just waiting for bread. Once I built a railroad, I made it run. Made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime?